This is from Psalms 108, 1 through 5. My heart, O Lord, my heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul.
Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn.
I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples.
For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth.
You're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are. Well, that's a great song, Debbie and team, for bringing to us on this Thanksgiving Sunday. God is so good, and those verses were very meaningful for us. Thank you. Lori and I would like to take a moment just to say thank you to all of you folks for supporting us this week in prayer, and I'm pleased to be able to pleased to be able to report that things went very well in my surgery on Thursday. So the doctor went in through my back and took care of two cysts, each one on each kidney, and basically they drain it and then they treat it, and hopefully it will reduce the impact that it'll have on my kidney function going forward. So I go back this Thursday for a checkup and possibly another cyst procedure as well. So we're very thankful as we've come into this weekend, and amazing. I'm very amazed and so thankful for our Canadian healthcare system, as already been noted this morning as well. So thank you very much for your prayer support and all your kind wishes to us. I also want to offer to you this morning my thankfulness for so many of you over these past 3 years. Do you realize that it was in September and October of 2013 that we began our first campaign to invite people to give towards the expansion of our facilities here? And it seems amazing that 3 years later, here we are. Over $1.1 million has already come in. We had about $500,000 in the bank, and now we just have a mortgage of $768,000 going forward. So it's just amazing time that we've had, and we're so thankful. That campaign is now coming to a close at the end of October. So for those of you who've been contributing, we want to thank you, and you can finish off anything you have left in October, or you can roll that over into our new campaign, which starts November 1st, and it's called Complete. And so what I'd like to do is just remind you today that we have, if you haven't received the information and a pledge card, they'll be available from the ushers when you leave this morning. You can pick one of those up, because next Sunday we'd like to do a Pledge Sunday offering, where you can offer pledges for the next 4 years to help take care of our mortgage. And what we've done, Dave Heffert has done a great job, and you've seen this in the lobby, but I just wanted to offer it again this morning, because we have this 500-piece puzzle that is missing 160 pieces. So out of these pieces that are missing, each one represents $4,800. So what we'd like to have you do is to donate towards the completion of this puzzle, and we'll have the mortgage paid off. So a portion of a puzzle piece or a couple of puzzle pieces, whatever it is that you think God is inviting you to participate with us over these next few years, and I believe that this will be paid off before the four-year time frame. So we're looking forward to that, and to celebrate what God has done here at Trulls over these many years and these last 3 years, we're going to gather on Saturday night. So I'd love for you to come and hear Jason Hildebrand. He's an actor from Toronto, does a one-man play on the life of David, and it's a night, no presentations about money. It'll simply be a night to celebrate and be inspired by God and what's ahead for us as a church. So please plan to join us, and friends would be welcome, of course, to come to this evening next Saturday night here at the church. I also want to just focus on our giving campaign verses, and that's come out of Ephesians 2, 21 and 22, and remind us that that's why we're talking about being built together over these weeks together. And the campaign verse invites us to recognize that in him, in Christ, we are being built together. Would you just pray with me before we look at God's word for a few minutes this morning? Thanks, God, for today and for this time to be together. We ask now that as we spend just a few moments looking at what you've said in Ephesians chapter 2, that you would be our inspiration and our helper. We ask this and invite your Holy Spirit's presence as we think. Amen. Well, today I want to do a 5-minute math lesson. And it's based on this passage here. And the first part of God's math, you can see that God's version is unique. So we'll just start with that. And mathematics, God's version. The first kind of math that God does for us in this passage is division. And here's what it looks like. Right here, there's a, looks like a fence, perhaps, or a barrier. And Paul talks about this, and sometimes when we have fences, there's person on one side and person on the other side, and they can't relate to one another. There's something in between. That's what Paul's talking about here. So that's what God talks about when he talks about division, because here's what happens to this fence. Turn to the next one there. There. So there's our division sign. And that's not what God wants. That's not what he invites us to. In our churches, he invites us to harmony. Doesn't mean that we can't have diversity, but he invites us to harmony. So I'm excited by the opportunity to be in a church where there isn't division and there is harmony, and God provides that for us by what he's done for us right from the very beginning. In verse 14, it says that Jesus came and destroyed the barrier. So there's no more division, the division between us and God, and there can be no division between us and our neighbors. He took care of it, and the world was better for it. It's all gone. Amazing. The next math lesson is in subtraction. Now, in this particular text, it talks about the laws and the commandments that the Jewish people tried to obey. In fact, there were 613 laws. Have you ever tried to obey the Ten Commandments, let alone 613? Well, in this case, that's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to put down, all these rules and regulations that people had to follow. Paul comes along in this chapter and says, all of those are taken care of. So what happens is, we have the minus sign that comes along, and so we can minus out the 613, which equals, everybody says together, equals zero. Perfect. And that's because of what Christ has done. He came along and he said, no more rules, no more regulations. In me, in Christ, you can have a relationship with God and with one another. So we'll bring in Christ there, Gavin. There we go. So that's the subtraction question. Okay, let's look at this math element, which is multiplication. You know what the sign for multiplication is? It's an X, right? Think about it this way with me. What if one person became a Christian in 2017, and they were discipled all year long, and then at the end of 2017, two people got together, and they introduced two other people to Christ, and they were discipled for a year, and then the next year, four people got together and discipled, and they became believers, and it just kept going on and on for 25 years. Do you know how many people that would be that could be discipled? Put it up, Gav. 25 years of that would mean 33 million people would come to faith in Christ and be disciples of Jesus. That's the whole population of Canada in one 25-year generation. That's God's kind of multiplication. And how, I ask you, how is this possible? Is it because of fancy programs or events or things that we can do as a church? Well, God has a plan for that as well, and it looks, it's a part of his math, and it goes like this. It's addition. So the multiplication happens through the cross, and that's what Jesus did for us. And it's so different from the way the world operates. It's so different in terms of how people can be changed. It's here that we see Jesus coming and dying on the cross and allowing people to come to Christ. So this addition has a little formula. Let's go to the next slide, and I'll get you to help me with this. So we'll just put the numbers up, and I'll get you to read it with me. 1 plus 1 equals? Ah, no. In this passage, it actually is 1. 1 plus 1 equals 1. There's two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. And God came through Christ, and he said, I'm going to make both those groups one. That's God's math. two very distinct people. They didn't like each other. We talked about that last week. They were very despising of one another. And here Christ comes along and says, because of what God does in forgiving one another, I'm going to make those two groups into one. We can become a one body. That's the reference in Ephesians 2, that there would be one body made out of both groups. So, end of lesson. Let's summarize it quickly. Today's math lesson from Ephesians 2. First of all, Jesus has made two groups into one. Secondly, Jesus created one new humanity out of two. There's this idea that God created us and then we failed by sinning, and then he recreates us and makes us a new humanity. Thirdly, in one body, he reconciled both groups. In Christ's body, in his one body, both groups of people, those that are at enemy with one another, where there's a barrier between us, any of those kinds of groups are all brought together because of Christ. Fourthly, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Another little math element this morning. God's one Spirit that he gives to us is available to us to have access to the Father. And then finally, number five, he brings peace to those who are far away and those who are near. A wonderful reference to what God wants to do in the lives of our families and friends and communities. Those that are far away from God. You might be thinking about your family today or your friends who aren't here for Thanksgiving and thinking how far away they are from God. That's part of God's plan, is to bring them back. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this little lesson, this math lesson, your math that teaches us more about what it means to follow you and your ways. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you came in your humble state and humbled yourself to become a person. And then died on the cross that we might, in fact, be able to be one with you, one with our fellow humans. So we lift up our hearts today in thankfulness this morning and pray that you'll continue to draw people to yourself. And I would ask this morning that if there's people here that don't know what it means to be a part of the one body of Christ, that you would ask someone this weekend, what's it mean to be a Christian, a Christ follower? Because this is a great weekend to come to know God above through Christ our Lord. And I pray this in your name. Amen.
Well, one of the things that happens at Thanksgiving is a lot of people talk about thankfulness. Not just churches, not just Christians. Everyone talks about thankfulness. One of the things I always find curious, though, and I usually don't have the guts to ask, but when someone says that they're thankful, I often want to ask, to whom are you thankful? Because in my experience, it's one thing to say I'm thankful for being born in a country like Canada or having such a great, you know, place to live, have friends, have a house, have food. But if you push that a little bit, who are we thankful to? If we don't identify, then people have to decide themselves. Well, if you don't believe in God, well, if you say you're thankful, you have to be thankful to luck, to your own hard work, to the random kindness of a few people. And I think it's important for us as Christians to take advantage of this holiday to identify we are thankful people, but we give our thanks to God. And so I'd like to give you a few responses to God's goodness in your life, a few ideas leaving this place that you can say, not just that you're thankful, but you can tell the